Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. In Charlotte, North Carolina, shining city of the non-racist New South, an elderly white man was kicked, beaten, and dragged by a rioting black mob just a week ago. Another white man trying to enter his car in a parking garage was savagely attacked by another mob of rioting blacks, kicked within an inch of his life, stripped naked, robbed of his possessions, and left stunned in the path of oncoming cars. A white photographer was struck down and pushed into a fire by the rioters, just barely missing being burned to death. Britain's Daily Mail reports that white bystanders, stranded after the riots began, were being attacked by roving groups of blacks. You can see some of these incidents in the video I've posted at the top of the text version of this broadcast on nationalvanguard.org. In some of the footage evidently filmed by rioters themselves, you can hear the blacks laughing with real glee as these innocent whites are set upon and mercilessly savaged. It tells you all you need to know about the Jewish-controlled media that, except for the photographer who worked for the media, it's virtually impossible to discover the names or current conditions of any of these white victims. Their fate is certainly not a topic of interest to any national media, liberal or conservative. Who cares? They're just whites. And it tells me more than I want to know about my fellow whites that there is little interest, to say nothing of anger or implacable determination to do what must be done so that such things can never happen again among them. We'll get back to that topic later. The black mob was enraged that a black man, Keith Lamont Scott, was killed by the police. And their peaceful protests, and their screams of animal fury, and their spray paint vandalism proclaimed, 1,000 times over, Black Lives Matter. The rallying cry of black rioters across the country for several years now. And now also, the name of the organization, funded by the billionaire Jew George Soros, in order to bring chaos and absolute tyranny to America, using weaponized blacks as pawns in a greater game. Keith Lamont Scott's brother was seen egging on the mob and screaming, "All white people are effing devils. All white cops are effing devils." It didn't matter that the dead black was shot by a black cop, Brentley Vinson, in a city with a black police chief. It didn't matter that the dead black was well armed. It didn't matter that the dead black was apparently so mentally ill that he refused to drop his gun when a group of officers with weapons drawn told him to do so. It didn't matter that the dead black had a record of violent felonies as long as Sumner Redstone's prescription slip. None of it makes any sense. The victims suffered for nothing. Those who died, died for nothing. Except for Soros and his ilk, most of these animals don't know what they want. So they risked suicide by cop all night long for nothing. Most of the whites who cowered a mile or 10 away from the carnage and watched their LCD screens in horror don't know what they want either, except to escape or wake up from the worst nightmare they've ever had. More on that later, too. Blacks are a primitive race with a low average intelligence, impulsive and prone to crime and rage and violence. The things they do often make no sense at all, even from the perspective of their own best interests. It's dangerous just to be present wherever they constitute a plurality. It's even dangerous for them. Setting them loose by the millions in our once brilliant civilization is a disaster. A disaster that's going to turn into a Holocaust if we don't do something to stop it. There is no upside to their presence. Elon Musk has just announced that his goal is to build a city of 1 million human beings on the surface of Mars. Now, looking at it with absolute dispassionate objectivity, if we actually make it to that planet, do you think it would be beneficial, wise, or even tolerable to bring 1 or 200,000 Negroes along? I didn't think so. Far from being wise, it would be negligent, insane, criminal, treasonous, fatal, immoral, and murderous to do so. It would be deliberate and certain sabotage of our entire future. Well, it's the same on this planet, cowboy. The situation is exactly the same. Just as it would be on Mars, our existence here is not guaranteed. Many people, many races, many civilizations, and many species have gone extinct right here on Earth. Many have been wiped out because they couldn't adapt to new conditions and couldn't understand what was happening to them. That could easily happen to us because the inverted, crazy excuse for morality that we preach today, a morality that says that there are values higher than the biological survival of our race, values like diversity and inclusion and never hurting anyone's feelings, among others, that kind of morality virtually guarantees that we will not survive. And because such a morality essentially denies that we exist, it also guarantees that its practitioners will cease to exist. When the adherents of modern morality are forced to admit that white people exist, it is to demonize us, attack us, and fill our innocent school children with inexculpable guilt for being white. Do the members of your church, or your political party, or your generation believe that our race's survival is the highest and most sacred of all values? Or do they not? This morality and this situation cannot hold. It will not do, and it must end. I've explained our dilemma from many perspectives, and I'm going to offer you an entirely new perspective today. I've explained that the lower races are savage and incompatible with our civilization. I've explained that a hostile alien Jewish elite is committing genocide against whites worldwide, and that multiracialism and racial mixing are among the deadliest weapons in their extermination program. I've explained that the purpose of our lives and of the universe is upward evolution, and that mixing with other races could end forever our chances to achieve our destiny as an advanced interplanetary species. And all of these things are true. But some of our people have blinders on and cannot see these truths when they are explained in the usual ways, because of childhood conditioning or religious brainwashing. But help them to view the same truth from a different angle, and they will see it with pinpoint focus and clarity. Consider this angle, then. Make a video of a man walking sideways, and make another video of a tree blowing in the wind. View the videos. Then view the videos backwards. What do you see? You see essentially the same thing, backwards or forwards. A man moving sideways and a tree with its limbs trembling a bit. In fact, unless you are told, you probably can't tell whether the video is playing backwards or forwards. But those two videos are very special cases. Film almost anything else that moves in the real world, and it's easy to tell whether you're seeing time unfold as it really does, or time shown in reverse. If the man walking sideways runs into a delicate ceramic sculpture, causing it to fall and break into 1,000 tiny pieces, and you play that in reverse, you know you're seeing something impossible. Shards of ceramic don't jump off the sidewalk and assemble themselves into a bust of Napoleon. Never happens. Make a time-lapse video of a gardener's compost pile. Play it forwards and you see coffee grounds and eggshells and old newspapers decomposing and turning into soil. Play it backwards and you see rich brown soil changing into Maxwell House coffee complete with filter, perfect white eggshells, and last week's stock market quotations. In fact, the stock market quotations emerging from the soil would precede the events they chronicle. Well, that never happens either. Make a video recording of a lightning bolt flashing between cloud and earth, and the energy released being converted into heat and sound waves and light waves and radio waves radiating from the bolt and dissipating as they radiate outward in every direction. Now, play the lightning bolt video backwards. You'd see sound waves building up from microscopic atmospheric fluctuations and the imperceptible vibrations of many objects, all combining with perfect synchronicity and in perfect phase to produce a gigantic thunderclap. You'd see apparently random and very tiny radio waves and light waves of every frequency from subsonic to ultraviolet, converging from all directions. Again, all timed and phased perfectly to add together, and meeting in the center, miraculously combining to assemble themselves into a lightning bolt, which in a few microseconds converts itself into an atmospheric static charge of 100 million volts. Can that reverse scenario actually happen? Yes, it could happen if conditions were exactly right. A pile of ceramic dust could reassemble itself into a bust of Napoleon, too. It does not violate any of the known laws of physics, but it has never been observed to happen in all of human history. And it is so fantastically improbable, even more fantastically improbable than Hillary Clinton experiencing remorse, that it is quite unlikely ever to happen in the time and space encompassed by this thing we call the universe. Yet, the forward version of events, ordinary lightning bolts, happens thousands upon thousands of times every day on this planet. Hundreds of times alone in the time it took me to speak this sentence. What you are perceiving in these forward and reversed videos is literally the direction of time. The British physicist Sir Arthur Eddington called it the arrow of time, and it travels only in one direction. Without any overt cues like a watch or a timestamp in the video, you can tell which way time is flowing as you watch it. You can do this because even if you are not conscious of it, you understand how time works. You know from experience that things almost always go from higher energy states to lower ones. Ice melts and molten metal solidifies as temperature differences reach equilibrium. The complexly organized stuff you put into the compost pile decomposes and turns to heat, which is the random motion of molecules, and undifferentiated soil. Cars rust, and buildings age and crumble, and appliances break down, and all organized matter, made by nature or made by man, deteriorates unless constantly maintained. Even the sun is winding down, radiating its concentrated energy into space, thus making the energy difference between it and its surroundings less and less as time goes on, a process which must culminate in its death. And thus it is with every star and with every galaxy and with everything that exists. This tendency to degenerate or decompose or proceed toward greater and greater randomness and disorder, toward states of lower and lower available energy, is called entropy. The more there is disorder and randomness, the greater the disorganization of a thing, the greater that thing's entropy is said to be. And one of the most ominous truths of the universe is that all that we see and all that we cannot see is proceeding toward greater and greater entropy, until the universe itself must inevitably wind down and reach a state of energy distribution equilibrium, in which the amount of energy available for any work, for any process, including life, falls to zero. This principle of entropy is so much a part of the basic structure of the universe that it in fact defines time itself. Moving toward increasing entropy, toward disorder, means moving forward in time. Moving toward decreasing entropy, or toward order, means moving backward in time. The ultimate order, and therefore the ultimate lack of entropy, is that embodied in the universal particle which preceded the Big Bang, in which all the matter and energy of the universe were concentrated at a single point. Ever since then, disorder has been increasing, and this must continue until the heat death, which might more aptly be called the lack of heat death of the universe. On my program next week, I will discuss the one force in the universe which appears to oppose entropy on every front. A force which follows its own laws, which are in almost every way the opposite of entropy. And I will show you why the European race, our race, is the penultimate result of and the instrument of this force. Don't miss The White Race and the Arrow of Time, Part 2, right here on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. The National Alliance is working to educate white men and women around the world as to the nature of the reality we must face, and organizing our people to ensure our survival and advancement. Write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA, to learn how you can make your life count. Or visit natall.com. That's natall.com. Once again, our postal address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Shout.